If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you again to talk about the Parsha, to talk about the Torah, to talk about, well, what's happening in the world, to try and analyze what the chaos is all about and try to somehow find a path through all what I consider, and I'm sure what you consider, the madness that has overtaken the world. The world has become a strange and troubling place, but we can't despair. We don't despair, because we see within all of this not only a dimension, but in fact an overwhelming dimension of clarity. Because we know one thing. We know that God runs everything. And everything comes by divine plan. And even though from time to time we don't see it clearly, God hides his ways. The ways of Hashem are mysterious. Nonetheless, we know for sure that there is a guiding and benevolent divine hand that runs everything. And because of that, we know for sure that we have to strive to understand, to believe, and ultimately to see what that clarity and purpose is all about. And this is why we turn to Torah, because Torah is the book of truth. Torah is the book of life. Torah is that guide which enables us to a huge degree to understand the ways of Hashem. It enables us to understand ourselves. It gives insight into that which is happening around us, without which, yes, there is sometimes utter confusion and chaos. And this is why we study, we learn, we act, we perform, we do God's commandments. We try to bring down as much godly, holy, divine energy into the world, particularly at a time when there are forces that try to distort the godliness that exists in the world. It's the month of Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is a difficult month. Difficult in the sense that, on the one hand, it's the month which comes right after the month of Tishrei. Tishrei is a month which is filled with holy days. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, days that we declare God's monarchy of the world, days of repentance, days of atonement. Sukkot, days of tremendous joy. Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, days that we dance with the Torah in intense joy. It's a month that is filled with overwhelming, revealed goodness and joy. And then we enter into the month of Cheshvan. And the month of Cheshvan somehow brings to mind the darker elements of the world. It's the month that we read about the flood. It's the time, the month that the actual flood, the great Mabul, took place. It's a time that God, well, became angry with the world. He regretted the fact that he created the world and tragically had to destroy the world. All of that in the month of Cheshvan. The month which comes immediately after Tishrei, a month of intense holiness and intense joy. But Cheshvan is also a month that we read in Tanakh, that this is the month that the holy temple built by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, was completed. It's a month when great and holy things took place. But it's a month that we have to work at trying to understand how we can see within all the marble reality, how we can see greatness and holiness. It's up to us. It's something that we have to do. The month of Tishrei is filled with gifts of divine joy and glory. It's there. All we do is open our eyes. It's there. The month of Cheshvan takes effort. It takes effort for us to see it. It's there, but we have to work, and sometimes work very hard in order to see it and see it clearly. In Tanakh, in the Holy Bible, the month of Cheshvan is known as Bul, the month of Bul. When we read about the completion of the first Beis HaMikdash built by King Solomon, it says it was completed in the month of Bul. Interestingly, the word Bul is flood, the great deluge. Although we know it is Mabul, we add the Mem. Our commentaries tell us some interesting things. Mem? Why add the word letter Mem to Mabul? Well, on the one hand, it's because the actual deluge lasted for 40 days, and Mem has the numerical value of 40. But 40 is a holy number. 40 is the number of measures of special water that it takes to make a mikvah. 40 is a special time. Mem Bul. The waters of the flood had the Mem next to it. It could be transformed. This is the month of Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan appears as a difficult month, a month of the flood, but it's also the Mem that brings to mind holiness, change, purity, refreshing. But it's up to us. We have to accomplish that. It's through our efforts that we can reveal the hidden beauty and joy and greatness and holiness that this month possesses. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about the month of Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, and how special it is because it contains within it incredible treasures of joy and holiness, but it takes effort. And always at this time of the year, we read the Parsha, this week's Parsha, of Lech Lecha, the third Parsha of the Torah. The first, of course, was Bereshit, creation, God bringing all of existence, the entire universe, and beyond into being. The second Parsha was Noach, a story which, on the one hand, is dramatic, savior of Noah and his family and the group of animals that went with him in the ark. But at the same time, it's a story of, well, sadness, where God regrets the fact that he created the world and had to destroy it. This week, it's Lech Lecha, where God comes to Abraham and tells him, go forth, leave your father's home, leave your land, leave your birthplace, go forth. But quite objectively, when we take a look at these three parshiot, the first is creation. Can there be anything greater than creation? God himself brings all of being into existence. Time, space, everything we know, everything. What an incredible, miraculous act. Even the flood, although on the one hand it appears to be an act of punishment, but nonetheless, this incredible deluge, this incredible flood that overwhelmed the entire world, covering even the highest mountains, that too is a miraculous act, a dramatic demonstration of how God was so unhappy with his creation that he had to bring it to an end, but he did it in such miraculous, dramatic fashion. This week's Parsha doesn't seem dramatic at all. Yes, God speaks to Abraham, but what does he say to him? Lech Lecha, go, start a journey. And one wonders if, in fact, this is the third Parsha, And according to all commentaries, this is the pivotal moment. This is when everything changes. It seems so ordinary in comparison to the other two parshas that preceded it. The first, of course, creation. The second, the drama of the flood. And this seems quiet. God speaking to an individual, to one person, to leave his father's home, to leave his birthplace, and to leave the land where he grew up. Why is this so? And this becomes so important. And the answer, of course, is the three individuals who play significant roles in those three moments. What happened during creation? God creates a perfect world. And he tells Adam and Eve, particularly Adam, I'm putting you into the Garden of Eden, a perfect, beautiful environment. All you have to do is to work it and protect it. And how do you do that? There's one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you mustn't eat its fruit. Was Adam able to resist that temptation? We know the story, the serpent and Chava and Eve. At the end of the day, he couldn't. And what happened? He was banished. He was sent out from the Garden of Eden. He failed in his mission. And that began a tremendous downward spiral in all of creation, in the whole world. From one generation to the next, it became worse and worse and worse until God said, I have to destroy this world. And who played the key role at that moment was Noah. Noah, the Torah tells us, Noah was a righteous man. Our sages are, well, conflicting opinion. Was that an absolute term that he was righteous? Was it a relative term? Was he absolutely righteous or relative to his own society, to his own generation? But he had a major flaw. And what was that flaw? He didn't in any way try to influence others. He was quite content that he and his immediate family believed in God and tried to retain a moral life, unlike his neighbors, unlike all of society. And this is why this dramatic story of the flood talks to us about an ark which protected him and his family. The world is falling apart, it's being destroyed. And he lives in perfect, safe isolation while the world is being destroyed. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that a tragic picture? One person, one family. All the world is being destroyed. Yes, it's miraculous. It's great. It's a reward for him. But at the same time, a terrible indictment against him. Only one person. Couldn't he share his passion for godliness, for morality, for ethics with others? He didn't. And then comes the third parsha of Lech Lecha. And who is the key figure there? Avram. And who is Avram? Avram is a man who at a very young age recognizes godliness. He looks around and he comes to the obvious conclusion that this world can't exist on its own. And for generations, from the time of Noah to his, people again began to behave badly. The story of the Tower of Babel, where they tried to create a substitute for God. Let's build a physical object, a physical philosophy, a man-made idea to keep us united. Let's do something that will keep us strong. They didn't believe in God until Abraham came along and said, this idolatry is nonsensical. It's foolish. This incredible world of time and space and growth, This can only come from a creator. It cannot be here on its own. It cannot exist on its own. And he looked around at the behavior of people, and he said, what you are doing is violent and corrupt. You have to accept a morality that is based upon the will of God. Did he keep these ideas to himself? Absolutely not. He shouted in the street. He went through towns and villages and cities with incredible passion, talking about and preaching about godliness. And he had hundreds and thousands of followers. The mighty king of the time, Nimrod, was furious with him. How dare you change the values of our society? Nimrod said, I am the one who decides the value system of our society. How does the parsha begin? God says to Abraham, Lech Lecha. It's time to start a new and huge journey. And why is this little story even greater than the miraculous drama of the flood? And in a sense, even greater than creation itself? Because it's a journey that changes the world. And it's a journey that hasn't ended. Because Abraham bequeathed this incredible strength and passion and love to change the world to his children forevermore until the coming of Mashiach, when the world will become a perfect place. Because every little area, every little situation that is imperfect throughout history, the Jewish people have gone through every single area of the world and done good. I mean, history tells a story, and no one can deny it. The contribution that Abraham's children, the Jewish people, have made in this world is enormous. I'm not talking spiritually, where they carried the flag for God, for one God, or for ethics and morality, witnesses and symbol of goodness. Think about the material things that the Jewish people have contributed to this world, the physical things. What Jews have done in this world is beyond measure. This came from the chesed, the limitless kindness, an act of giving of Abraham that he passed on to his children and children's children to present day. This journey began with one man, but it didn't end with one man. It began at a particular moment, but it didn't stop at that moment. It's a journey that continues to this very day in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us carries on with that journey, because we are part of that process of changing the world for good. And that's why, even though it sounds like a small statement compared to the drama of the flood or the greatness of creation, it's a statement that's so much greater, because it's a statement that talks about changing the world. But it demands movement, Lech Lecha. You can't sit in one place. You can't sit still. You can't sit back and be a bystander, be a spectator. You have to participate. You have to be involved. You have to have the courage to turn to others and share your knowledge, share your passion for godliness, share your passion for Yiddishkeit, share your passion of making this world a better place. If you put on film, turn to someone who doesn't and say, would you like to put on film? You light candles for Shabbos and Yontov, turn to someone who doesn't and say, would you like to light candles? You talk about Shabbos, speak to someone about Shabbos. You observe Kashrut, speak to someone about observing Kashrut. It's not only an act of holiness, it's an act of kindness. be charitable. The famous tent of Avraham open on all four sides, because this is what we do. We give. We've given in the field of medicine. We've given in the field of economics. We've given in the field of every single science. Our only hope and wish is the world would acknowledge that and in some small way be thankful, be grateful for what we've given. Because without our contribution, this world would be a very dark, dark place, materially and spiritually. It would be a frightening place, materially and spiritually. And this is something that we have to understand. We are the children of Abraham. The Jewish people are the children of Abraham. And we carry on his mission of changing the world and changing the world for good. But we have to do it with movement, with excitement, with passion, with tremendous, tremendous energy. That's how we do it. And it can be done because we've seen it happen over the last few thousand years, again and again and again in great drama. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about the journey that began with Abraham and continues to this very day. But it's a long journey, a journey with twists and turns, a journey that sometimes is in the light of day and sometimes in the dead of night. And as we turn to the Haftarah, we see something incredibly current and relative, and something which has been a question throughout Jewish history. Isaiah, the great prophet, prophet of redemption, prophet of salvation, as his name suggests, he speaks to the Jewish people and to every category of Jew. The Jew who's categorized by the name of Jacob, the Jew who's categorized by the name of Israel. And he says, why do you say to God that your devotion and your good deeds go unnoticed on high? You ask God, why is it that despite your faith and loyalty, the nations of the world, and sometimes the evil nations of the world, have dominion over you? Don't you know that God is master of heaven and earth? And everything comes from him. And one day all will be revealed. In one way or another, this question has been raised by so many, in so many different ways. The mystery of God's ways. Because even when Abram turned to God, God said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, a powerful nation. Your children will be a source of blessing for all of humankind. I'm going to give you this land forevermore. And what does Abraham say to God? Doesn't challenge. He just wants to know. Bama Eda, how will I know? And we know that story, where he goes into this deep, deep sleep. And he sees a vision where God says, it will take time. And it won't be an easy journey. Your children will descend into an alien land where they will be slaves for a long time. And after a significant time, I will liberate them. I will free them. They will march to Sinai. They will receive the Torah and ultimately be given this land. And so it is, we often ask that question. Why? Why is it that we see such difficulty, such suffering, such tragedy? After all, haven't we proven our loyalty time and again? This is where faith comes in. This is how we act as children of Abraham. Abraham was tested with incredibly difficult tests, 10 of them. Incredibly difficult, each one. Whether it was being thrown into the furnace of Nimrod, or even with his own son. But he stood by each and every one of them. And he empowered us with that strength to have the ability to withstand every test that God gives us. Because God doesn't give us tests in vain. Each test makes us greater and makes us stronger and brings about a far greater reward as well. And that's when we look around the world today and we wonder why. It doesn't weaken us. It makes us stronger. Because we are those who gave humankind whatever they have. And we should be proud of it. You know, the so-called major religions of the world, to whom do they owe their faith? To the influence of the Jews, the Torah. If they'd only acknowledge it. But throughout history, they've turned on us time and again. It's the old story. You become angry at the one who gives you something. Does it frighten us? It hurts us. We pay a great price, but it doesn't break us. In fact, we become stronger. And this is why when we look around the world today and see how people behave, and we wonder why, after all we've given you, after all we've done to make these insane, obscene accusations against us? Is this the thank you that we deserve? We're being tested because we are strong. We're children of Abraham. Lech lecha. We have passion. We have power. We have strength. We go forward. Go forward with his power. Go forward with pride. We go forward with joy. Go forward with loyalty and commitment. Our story is bigger than the story of creation. Our story is more dramatic than the story of the flood. Our story is one of pure greatness throughout history. And when we say we will succeed, we succeed. And that's why when you're in shul tomorrow, listen carefully. Every one of the episodes of this week's Parsha, dramatic, exciting, whether it's the story of God speaking to Abraham, whether it's the story of him descending into Egypt and he and Sarah being put to the test, whether the battle that he goes against the great kings, whether that deep sleep in which he's told about the fact that his children will go into slavery. Listen to the story. And listen to the words, as I always say, that have a special message for you personally that resonate. And you will hear something special. It's a great parsha. It's a story of our own lives. It gives us meaning, gives us direction, gives us purpose. Good Shabbos.